From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It is the 20th day of February 2014. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. We'll hear all about crop insurance decisions and what you might want to do. I'll make it easy for you. Gary Schnittke is going to tell you do exactly what you did last year, but we'll let him do that as well during the Closing Market Report today. And as we close out our program, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, I'll tell you all about next week's Will Ag panel in Clinton, Illinois, our all-day ag outlook of the following week. That's March the 4th over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And how you can still get on that John Deere bus trip, March 10, 11, and 12, right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group for this Thursday afternoon. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat or the March futures at $6.16 and a quarter, down 4 cents for the day. May futures unchanged at $6.13 and a half, and July at $6.17 and a quarter, up a quarter. The hard red finished the July at $6.75 and a half, up 2 cents. Corn pit now. Nearby March futures, $4.55 and three quarters. The settlement price up 2. The May at $4.62 and a quarter, up 2 cents as well. July contract up 2, $4.66 and three quarters. Settlement price and December corn at $4.68 and three quarters. The new crop up a half a cent. March contract of next year for 2015, $4.77 and a half a bushel, up a quarter in the corn pit. March beans, $13.58 and a quarter, up 4. The May futures, 5 and three quarters higher, $13.47 and three quarters. In July soybeans, $13.31 and three quarters, up 7 cents. August futures there, $12.81 and a quarter, up 7. November beans, $11.45 and a quarter, 8 and a quarter cents. Higher bean meal at $4.50.90, down 2.10. And the March to May at $4.37, that finished 50 cents higher. Bean oil at $40.57, up 33 for the March contract. Live cattle futures at the CME Group finished the nearby contract. Well, it's not going to load. We'll give you those numbers in just a bit. There they are. Live cattle February contract 144.80, up 92.5. April futures at 142 and a nickel, 22.5 higher. March feeders at 171.55, up 37.5. And lean hogs at $97.97 and a half, up 77.5 cents. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Occasional showers, a few thunderstorms. Those after 4 in the afternoon, a high of 40, or rather 57 degrees. It'll be breezy on a south wind at 17 to 22 miles an hour. Gusting all the way to 36, chance of rainfall this afternoon at 90%. Tonight, occasional showers, a few thunderstorms. They'll all come before 7 in the evening central time, a chance of showers after 7, too. That's through the 10 p.m. hour. A low of 26 degrees, and then Friday, sunny skies and a high of 41. Friday night, cloudy and 27. Saturday, sunny and 41. Saturday night, mostly cloudy and 20 degrees. On Sunday, partly sunny skies and 31. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 14. And on Monday evening, partly sunny, a 27-degree low. Or high, that is. On Monday night, a chance of snow, mostly cloudy and a low of 15 degrees. And then on Tuesday, snow, partly sunny, and 27 degrees. Checking the outside markets at this time, crude oil futures are trading the March at $102.92 a barrel. That's down 92 cents, or rather down 39 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.84 and 3 tenths is a penny and 8 tenths higher. Ethanol futures at $2.07, down 3 and a tenth of a cent. And the spread between the two is 77 and 3 tenths of a cent wide. That's 4 and 9 tenths cents. 9 tenths of a cent wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $6 even, up about, rather down about 14 cents, and the dollar trading up 3 cents at $3. The diesel fuel trading up 3 cents at $3.17 and 7 tenths of a cent. U.S. dollar at 80.28 is up 0.14 on the afternoon. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a production of the University of Illinois. Find us online at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check in now with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. He'll bring us some of the latest analysis of what happened in the marketplace for the day. Good afternoon, Dan.
How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing very, very well. This morning, you and I talked a little bit about the Ag Forum numbers. I suspect you've had a chance to digest those a bit more and maybe look through them. What do you think of the USDA's initial push in the Ag Forum numbers for acres and season's average prices and such?
Well, I mean, it's an exercise that they go through each year, at least basically to start the new, you know, crop year, and I would say that's what it is an exercise of what they view as they look outside the beltway of what could happen to planted acres for the coming year, and then they're going to give us a set of supply and demand numbers to go along with that here tomorrow. And I just view that as the initial starting point. I think on the surface, everything was bullish, and that's the way the market responded here today. I don't know what they gave us on oat planting, but it must have been pretty low. They have oats up 19 cents here today. I'm glad I got rid of my horse. So that's my daughter and son-in-law's problem now. They can buy that expensive oats for that horse. But, the corn number came in at 92 million. The trade, I think, does believe that there's, in the direction anyway, that corn acres could go down. The bean acres was up 3 million. Most in the trade, I think, we're looking for the bean acres to be up more than 3 million. There may be, you know, 5 or 6 million. Maybe corn acres, maybe only down maybe a million or so. So at least their initial numbers came in smaller than what the trade was trading, and that's how we finished up here today.
Yeah, to be exact, USDA says soy acres for the beans at 79.5 million. That's up 3.9% from last year. Corn acres at 92 million, down 3.5 million, or 3.5% rather, from last year. And wheat acres off 1.2%. Season's average prices for corn for the 2014 crop, $3.90, beans at $9.65, and wheat at $5.30. I suspect we probably ought to ignore those for the moment and really talk about where you think we might be for new crop, in fact, in the December contract for corn. It's kind of got a nice round bottom. It appears that's beginning to be built here. Is that what you're seeing?
Sure. And then you can also you could call it a head and shoulders bottom in the corn market. For the old crop, basically what I initially kind of viewed was more of a sideways trading range between, you know, 436 and basically 410. The wider range of that is maybe 438 to 406. But just taking that little smaller range, that was like 26 cents. The market broke out of that range there the first part of February after that the January crop report gave it at least long-term thinking where we were going. And if you'd add 26 cents to 436, it says we could go to like 462. If you kind of want to view more of a head-and-shoulder bottom formation, you can maybe talk as high as 466. And today we're at, a dime away from that. It's the same way on Dease corn. I was kind of wanting to view this price sideways action here that we had here during basically the month of February here. We broke out of that here earlier this week, sharply higher, crossed the 100-day moving average yesterday. If you the midpoint of that congestion area is like 458. swing that off of that crop report low of 35, and it says we could go to 480. So those are the numbers I'm looking at. I would not rule out a move to 490. The thing that we have to worry about, not all of the technical momentum indicators, but there's a few of the widely watched ones that are at least climbing up to the levels that would suggest the market is maybe ripe for a setback or a period of consolidation on this stuff. But the corn market does look like it's, you know, trying to buy some acres, and based upon USDA's numbers, it needs to buy some acres.
Yeah, well, they come at the bean, the price of the beans, or I think USDA's total number of acres was down, or do the corn acres just come up and bean acres stay?
I think there's probably more acres out there to be planted. Now, I also understand, though, that in some areas, depending upon where you're at, that the bankers are going to be a little tough to loan money on marginal ground. They're making the individual farmer come up with a certain percentage of that money. They're not going to loan 100% to plant an acre of corn. So we are seeing some tightening in credit in some of the marginal acres of corn and soybeans. So I think in order to get those acres planted, the market probably is going to have to offer better pricing opportunities, at least to give the banker some comfort level that he's going to get his money back if he loans money to that particular farmer to plant that ground. So I think the market and the South American crop, of all the talk you've heard, actually is kind of slipping backwards a little bit. And once a trend starts like that, that gives you a little more upside momentum. And I still think that I know where USDA is coming from when they talk about you know, maybe a 390 average cash price on corn. But we have tons of money printed at unprecedented levels, and I think that may temper some of the downside price risk in this market through basically just currency devaluation, as it we may not reach some of those levels that the USDA has been talking about.
Yeah, so the currency devaluing, meaning we have some inflation, so the price of it'll just go up because it'll take more currency to buy the same bushel based
well,
on the
yeah,
value of the currency.
Well, of course, Mexico is going to probably bail us out, and some of the valley, Texas Valley, is going to bail us out a little bit. But look at what vegetable prices could cost next year when you look at that California drought situation. You look at the current drought index map or soil moisture map, you can see Texas and the Plain states are all in a droughty area, so there's some weather premium yet to be built into some of these commodity prices if the weather pattern doesn't change any. By the way, they are planting corn in the valley. So actually, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they just got done harvesting some seed corn in the valley to be shipped eventually up north to be planted here, and they are planting in the Texas Valley this week, and everything in central Texas is ready to be planted if once the farmers feel comfortable that the weather pattern has broken at least to something a little more warmer than what we've had over the past month.
I suppose they don't want to plant into the dust either, but maybe parts of that, let's see, the Central Valley, you'll have to forgive me because I don't quite know where that is. I know where the Amarillo.
Well, I'm talking about the Rio Valley.
Oh, okay,
we
down
call
south.
That's what we call is the Rio Valley, is
okay.
The southern parts of Texas. Anything below Interstate 10 is good dirt.
It's dry land,
though,
right?
They got to get it planted and it's irrigated.
Oh, it is irrigated. Okay.
Yeah. So So they're going to produce. They're ready to. This is the time of year that they got to go because they want to get it harvested before 4th of July.
All right. Hey,
before it's 125 degrees.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the information. We appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's located in Mandeville, Louisiana.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm ULVI Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program, Commodity Week, which comes up immediately after the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoons, both of which and all of our ag programming you can find on our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.ORG. And I'll be the tour guide for our John Deere bus trip, March 10, 11, and 12. We leave the afternoon of Monday, March the 10th, and come back early evening on Wednesday, March the 12th. We'll go visit John Deere in Moline, Rock Island area, look at the harvesters, the combines being made, and then on to Waterloo, Iowa, where we'll watch the tractors being made. Come back all for $550. Most of your meals will be included for that price tag. If you want to come along, you still can. Just give us a call at 217-333-7300, and we'll get you pushed off to the right place where you'll be able to get yourself signed up, or you can visit our website and find the John Deere bus trip at willag.org. That's WILLAG.ORG. While you're there, hit our Outlook meeting schedule over on the right-hand side of the page. It'll tell you about next week's Clinton, Illinois Outlook panel that is scheduled for 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. That's next Wednesday evening, February 26th in Clinton, Illinois, sponsored by one of our affiliate stations, WHOW. Thank you so much to them for putting that program on. If you're in that area, please do show up next Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock. That's at the Richland Building, a community college, that is. They have a campus in Clinton, Illinois, and we'll be there next Wednesday at 7 o'clock with one of our Will Ag panels. We hope that you show up. Gary Schnitke will be one of the folks that is on hand. I talked to him earlier this week, asked him about crop insurance decisions you will be making. He says, pretty much do what you did last year, but we'll let him tell you about that in just a moment. First things first, the new farm bill does not impact this year's crop insurance decisions. It will impact next year. That said, the decision will need to be made prior to mid-March. Now, Gary Schnitke is the crop insurance expert on the University of Illinois campus here in Urbana-Champaign, and he says there aren't many differences between last year and this year. Well, save one.
So last year, the big difference is what's happened to projected price. So last year, we had a 565 projected price for corn. This year, we're going to be in the 460 range. So a dollar less, and that's going to lower our guarantees. The other change is that they've done away with the group products, GRP and GRIP, but replaced them with an area risk protection insurance. And so if you purchase GRIP HR last year, the choice this year will be ARP. There's some differences, but essentially the same product.
So GRIP HR is replaced by ARP, but these are mostly the same product. The bottom line for this year, thinks Schnitke, is for a farmer who was happy with the insurance last year, then take the same product at the same coverage level this year.
Most producers and farmers will find RP with an 80 or 85% coverage level, enterprise units, and the yield trend adjusted yield to be the choice, and that happens to be what most producers picked last year. And if they picked that last year and were happy with it, stay with it this year.
On the APH, if the yield endorsement was chosen last year, it should remain in place for this year. There are only a handful of cases where the APH yield endorsement does not work in the favor of the farmer. Oh, about the RP coverage, it is probably best not to make it RPHPE, that's the harvest price exclusion. This is the item that makes crop insurance cheaper, but not nearly so protective.
So drought year like 2012, RP made some pretty big payments. RPHPE did not, because its guarantee did not go up with the higher harvest prices. Producers that may find that beneficial are those that really want to be cost conscious, because they're, the RP premiums are about, 50% of RPs, and sometimes less than that. But they have to keep in mind that they won't have that harvest price protection, so they probably shouldn't be doing much pre-harvest hedging.
Again, taking RP-HPE excludes the harvest price from the insurance product. It is best used by those that do not hedge their crop prior to harvest. Why? Well, because the hedge would likely lose money the crop insurance product would not be making up. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
It is a Thursday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. On the phone line is Matt Bennett from TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, a little rain outside, but really warm, and it has been for the last couple of days. It kind of makes you feel like getting a tractor out of the shed, is my guess.
Yeah, it definitely gets you to feel a little bit different than what we've felt for the last couple of months. This weather's certainly interesting. You hate to see too awful much rain with, the ground still being a little bit froze. It's probably going to cause a little bit of problems.
Did it cause producers to start moving any corn or soybeans in the last couple of days?
Well, I think the challenge right now is, as soft as what the ground is, it's going to be kind of hard to move it off the farm. But, we have been buying a fair amount of corn, with the market rallying back up here in the last five or six trading days. The way that it has gotten guys a little more willing to part with some corn anyway.
And is that a good thing, you think, that they've been making those sales?
Oh, by all means. It's certainly been refreshing to get back up to levels like this that we haven't seen, in some time. And, of course, the basis is holding together pretty good. I mean, given the time of year that we're in and the nice rally, it's really kind of amazing that we haven't broken the basis down much.
Yeah, I have heard overs at ethanol plants and other places, and it doesn't look like it's going out the export market at the moment, that it's being used locally.
Yes. Definitely being used locally, and I think bottom line is, for this time of year, it's impressive to see that we still have, like you said, some overs here and there, some bait bushes. It's just it's been a really interesting, different type of year for that, the size of crop we had.
Impressive, but is it impressive enough for producers who have not made sales to go ahead and set back and say, hey, I'm just going to wait this out and see what happens?
Well, in my opinion, I think that the guy needs to reward the market on the way up. I mean, by all means, a lot of guys are holding on to a lot more corn than maybe what they feel comfortable with. So letting go of some of it's a great idea. I don't know if they want to let go of all of it just yet, but I'd certainly be moving a fair amount of it.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time. I'm looking forward, actually, to having you in Clinton, Illinois next week for one of our Will Ag panels on Wednesday night.
Yep, sounds good. I look forward to being there.
All right, that's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, and does join us here on this Thursday afternoon, and will be in Clinton, Illinois, at the Richland Community College campus. That one's in Clinton. They have a new building there, so if you want to come on out, that's at 7 o'clock in the evening. We sure do appreciate it if you would. Make the trip to Clinton next week for our Will Ag panel. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois.
It's National Cherry Pie Day. The origin of the day has been lost, but maybe George Washington has something to do with America's second most popular pie. When as a young boy, he made his famous quote, "I cannot tell a lie, I chopped down the cherry tree." On this day in agricultural history in 1829, Yingling Brewery on Center Street in Pottsville, Pennsylvania opened. The Eagle Brewery is the oldest still operating in the U.S. In 1872, Cyrus W. Baldwin received a patent for a vertical geared hydraulic electric elevator. It was installed in the Stevens Hotel in New York City.
In 1872, Silas Noble and Jay Cooley of Massachusetts were issued a patent on a toothpick manufacturing machine. They set up a factory in Strong, Maine, and machinery was developed to peel blocks of wood into long, thin ribbons. The ribbons were cut into toothpicks, which were moved by pitchfork into the sun to dry like hay. Then they were sorted and packed by hand. In 1873, on this date, Luther Childs Crowell of Cape Cod, Massachusetts, was granted a patent for a machine which made square-bottom paper bags. It's still the basic design that's used today. And in 2001, foot-and-mouth disease ravages livestock in Britain in the worst epidemic since 1967. By March, it has spread to mainland Europe. Millions of animals are destroyed, and the European Union banned export of meat and livestock for weeks. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago is on the phone line to take up the weather forecast for the nation, the planet, all the growing regions. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us. Let's start here in the Midwest. Is there any concern as we get rainfall that gets rid of a lot of the snow across a good portion, and warm temperatures, that is, too, across a good portion of the growing region for the red winter wheat, both hard and soft, for potential problems when cold air mass may come back in?
Yeah, well, the big issue going forward is that we do have a very cold air mass that will move on to the south beginning tomorrow and Saturday, but more so early next week, and for a large portion of next week for that matter. We'll see temperatures well below average by 15 to 25 degrees for much of next week across the northern half of the U.S., and that does include Illinois. This is a January-type air mass that's moving in for the end of February, possibly even into the beginning few days of March. Temperatures will fall below zero across much of the northern Corn Belt and the northern plains, which does reintroduce that threat for winter kill across hard red winter wheat areas of the Dakotas, Montana, and even into parts of Nebraska. We think there will be some snow, though, either Sunday or Monday, right before the core of Arctic air drops onto the south. So that should offer a little protection for that area of wheat.
Then turn your attention to the southern hemisphere. We probably should discuss the potential for harvest progress and how crops that are in all stages of the growing season there.
Yeah, it's a real mess at this time of the year in South America, with some crops being harvested, some being planted, some still sensitive to weather. The main issue at this point is that we do have a wet pattern in place across Mato Grosso, and that's limiting first crop harvesting, and it also will limit second crop corn planting. Their second crop corn is very large, and we need that to get planted on time, but with wet conditions there, that will be a bit sluggish over the next 10 days. Also, we do have dry areas across southeast Brazil, which is a large concern. This is a drought that's been taking place for the better part of 2 months now. It's having a big effect on coffee, probably a big effect on corn and soybeans across the region. That's also a bit of a problem because it stays dry there for the next 10 days. If you head a little bit further to the south, in South Brazil and Paraguay, these areas have turned fairly dry over the last 5 weeks. There will be a few thunderstorms around, and that should alleviate some of that concern with the later maturing corn and soybeans across the region. But we're now looking for a very wet pattern, and that could be an issue that we'll see later at harvest when we start to get some yield reports out of that region. So overall, the situation in Brazil could be better. It could be worse. It definitely is not fantastic, and that'll be one of the bigger issues going forward over the next few weeks.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today, Mike.
You're welcome.
Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, and our Outlook meeting schedule next week will be in Clinton on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. That at the campus, which belongs to Richland Community College. They have a new building in Clinton. It's right there on 51, so please do join us on Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock, at the Richland Community College building in Clinton, Illinois. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.